Willkommen zu der wöchentlichen Radio Chico Friedenssendung am Sonntag. Ich bin Kaya. Wir haben schon mehrere Swiss Peace Mitarbeiter bei uns an der Weltfriedenswoche dürfen interviewen. Also bin ich im Namen von Radio Chico am 13. Oktober 2015 an die jährliche Swiss Peace Konferenz gegangen. Das diesjährige Thema der Konferenz ist Responding to Conflicts in the Future, auf Deutsch, wie man auf Konflikte in der Zukunft reagieren soll. Anwesend sind Mitglieder von Swiss Peace sowie Fotografen, Mitglieder von anderen Organisationen und UN-Mitarbeiter. Am 8.30 Uhr konnte man Kaffee trinken und am 9 Uhr hat dann endlich die Swiss Peace Konferenz angefangen. Der Schweizer Diplomat, der Dr. Jakob Kellenberger, hat die jährliche Konferenz eröffnet. Er ist seit Mai 2013 der neue Stiftungspräsident von der Stiftung Swiss Peace.
Dear Mr. Müller, dear participants, all of you I wish a warm welcome. More particularly, I thank the Director General of the UN in Geneva, Michael Müller, for addressing the conference. I told him before, I consider it doesn't go without saying. He takes his time to be with us this morning, given his wide responsibilities. Many thanks also go to all the panelists and moderators. This conference is also an opportunity for me to thank our staff for its commitment and its highly appreciated work, to start with the director and the CEO. The theme of the keynote address on future global responses to conflicts is timely for us in Swiss Peace. We are in the final stages of working out our strategy 2016-2020, planned to be adopted by the Council of the Foundation before the end of this year. We continue to see Swiss Peace as a practice-oriented peace research institution. As practice is concerned, we recognize the challenge of identifying contexts where we see a possibility to contribute to conflict prevention and peace building. The light footprint approach consists in working in a conflict-sensitive way through local organizations in partnership. Its modus operandi is not so much to see partners implementing our projects, but support partners in their projects. I do hope that those working with us will have experienced that working partnership is among the principles of Swiss Peace. This approach is also conditioned by the size of the organization. Develop conflict sensitivity and help others to develop it can be a valuable contribution to conflict prevention, be it prevention against lapses or relapses into armed conflicts. The main thematic programs of Swiss Peace seems to me in line with the most pressing needs in peace building. These programs are mediation support, dealing with the past, and statehood. I learned in my last function how important it was for reconciliation to deal with the past. I also like to see Swiss Peace as an organization where words are being taken seriously.
Er sagt, Swiss Peace hat im Moment viele Projekte, wo die Strategie Ende 2016 fertig ist und 2020 eingesetzt werden kann. Sie tragen zur Friedenshilfe bei, wenn sie sehen, dass man sie braucht. Es ist weniger, dass anderen ihnen helfen, aber mehr, dass Swiss Peace ihre Partner, die sie haben, unterstützt. Das wichtigste Projekt im Swiss Peace sind erstens die Vermittlungsunterstützung, auch Mediation genannt, das heisst, die zwei Gegner ansetzen und eine Lösung oder einen Kompromiss für den Konflikt suchen. Und zweitens mit der Vergangenheit lernen umzugehen und die nicht als Thema für einen Konflikt suchen. Er hat gesagt, dass Konfliktprävention etwas vom Wichtigsten im Erreichen von Frieden ist und nicht im Nachhinein zu helfen. Die Swiss Peace Konferenz war somit offiziell eröffnet und ich war schon gespannt, was ich noch sonst aus dieser Konferenz lerne.
Thank you.
Nach einer interessanten Eröffnungsrede ist der Herr Michael Moller aus Dänemark, der Director General for the United Nations in Genf, auf die Swiss Peace Bühne gekommen und hat uns erzählt, was aus seiner Sicht die Antwort auf den Konflikt ist. Er war vorher schon seit 30 Jahren als Beamter bei den United Nations in Genf angestellt.
Dr. Kellenberger, Professor Goetschel, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, it's really a pleasure to participate in the Swiss Peace Annual Conference. It gives me the welcome opportunity to congratulate Swiss Peace for the excellent work that it has done over the years. I think that our cooperation is a great example of how knowledge, expertise and innovation coming from a renowned research institute and think tank adds value to the UN's work. In particular, and this was written before I listened to you, Dr. Kellenberger, I want to highlight your activities in the area of mediation carried out under your mediation support project. The guidance for effective mediation, which was prepared by our Department of Political Affairs with your assistance, has now become an essential tool for mediators around the world. Next year, UN envoys and special representatives will be invited to a high-level mediation course organized in collaboration with Swiss Peace. This training will provide the necessary skills and tools for those brokering peace in practice. So I thank you very much for contributing to develop and enhance the necessary capacities of those working at the front lines. Mediation is also a priority for us at the United Nations in Geneva, and I'm particularly grateful that thanks to a generous contribution of the government of Switzerland, we could establish last year a senior mediation officer position to support prevention and diplomatic peacemaking efforts. The investment in this post has already paid off since the arrival of our senior mediation officer, Enrico Formica, who unfortunately couldn't be with us today. We have been able to provide better substantive support to our envoys as Geneva is becoming an ever more sought-after venue for mediation. We have been seeing a clear increase in the number of mediation processes taking place in Geneva. Geneva is a well-established mediation hub, which will, I believe, significantly develop further. In a fragmented world, or increasingly fragmented world, its geographical location places it in proximity of some of the major conflicts preoccupying us all today. Palais des Nations provides for a conducive environment for negotiations, thanks to its history, its well-tested infrastructure, highly skilled staff, and Switzerland's neutrality, as well as a strong, effective, and pragmatic support of our host country are seen as unique and enabling strengths. Since its creation in 1945, the peacekeeping and peacemaking missions of the UN have been evolving and increasing. Today we have a better intellectual understanding of the complex links and interdependencies that cause conflicts, and therefore also of the complexity of the solutions that are required. However, our institutional structures and tools put in place when the UN was first created in 1945 have not really followed suit. To respond to this new complexity, we have to bring the international construct, including the security architecture, into the 21st century. To start with the obvious, we need a reformed Security Council and a deep reconfiguration of the overall international architecture, the UN family and its multitude of partners that will maximize their undeniable experience, expertise and high-quality human capital into a better targeted, focused and impactful set of tools. And for that to happen, we will need much greater political will and engagement from all member states. And when I talk about multitude of partners, I obviously include the civil society in there. Two recent reviews have pinpointed important elements of our future responses to these needs: the report of the High-Level Panel on United Nations Peace Operations and a report of the Advisory Group of Experts on the review on the peace-building architecture. I add to that also the report on the analysis of where we are on gender in these issues. The two reviews focus on the pursuit of more long-term strategies. Undue haste and narrow focus on cessation of hostilities rather than addressing root causes are significant factors of relapse into conflict. Too often, peace accords and elections are rushed.
Der Michael Moller lobt Swiss Peace vor allem für ihr gutes und funktionierendes Mediationsprojekt in den verschiedenen Ländern. In der UN ist nämlich die Prävention von Konflikten die Priorität und wird seither angestrebt. Seit 1945 hat es mehr UN-Friedensmissionen gegeben und sie sind grösser geworden. was in Michael Moller sehr wichtig ist und was seiner Meinung nach in der Schweiz ausgebaut werden muss, ist die Sicherheitsarchitektur und man muss die Partnerverbindungen stärken, damit man zusammen etwas bewirken kann. Er hat außerdem gemeint, I believe that peace is possible in this world. Ich glaube, dass Friede auf dieser Welt möglich ist und we can make the world a little more perfect every day. Wir können die Welt jeden Tag ein bisschen besser machen. Nach der Rede vom Herrn Michael Mollo und einer Fragerunde ist Mirjana Spoljaric, die stellvertretende Chefin von der Abteilung Vereinte Nationen und internationale Organisationen in der politischen Direktion Bern, eingetroffen und ans Rednerpult gestanden, um ihre Sicht von der Konfliktsfrage mitzuteilen. Frau Spoljaric hat selber den Botschaftertitel.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, and dear colleagues, I'm extremely pleased to be here and I'm honored to have been invited by Laura Götschel and Swiss Peace to address this conference. And I'm particularly pleased to have been given the right to respond to Michael Möller this morning. I haven't heard you, but I have my spies all over the place, and they briefed me before and while you spoke about what happened this morning. I'm sure you have heard this numerous times already since 9 o'clock. This year is an important year for the UN. The organization celebrates its 70th anniversary when a number of important reviews and policy events converge, namely the one on peace operations, the one on peace building, on post-2015, on climate change, on women, peace and security, on R2P. I also want to mention the UN Global Plan of Action to Prevent Violent Extremism, which will be presented at the General Assembly later this year, as well as the preparatory work leading to the World Humanitarian Summit in 2016. Of all these reviews, the so-called HIPPO report, the review of the High-Level Panel on Peace Operations, rightly underscored the critical need for the primacy of politics. In other words, political solutions should always and unconditionally guide the design and deployment of any UN peace operation. It also underlined that the responsibility of member states to mobilize political support to keep peace processes on track is vital. It is not surprising that this morning, and also at the just recent opening of the General Assembly this year, one, if not the buzzword, was prevention. Numerous statements 2 weeks ago and declarations by heads of states and their foreign ministers prove that there might be some sort of emerging understanding of what prevention means in terms of action in the UN system and of the UN system as a whole. This morning I want to respond to Michael's remarks, but I also want to share with you some impressions that I took back from New York from the high-level summit that started on 28th of September and is still ongoing. There are namely three issues that I want to highlight. First, there is the role of the Security Council and how it engages with the UN system. The UN Charter gives the Security Council primary responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security. Today, and in the wake of the most dramatic humanitarian crisis since World War II, we are inclined to say that the Security Council has spectacularly failed to fulfill its mandate. Critics see in this a proof that permanent membership and the veto do not reflect geopolitical realities anymore. I also want to highlight that Switzerland has for over a decade called on the permanent members to voluntarily renounce on their veto in cases of genocide and other serious crimes, just as the French initiative aims at limiting the use of the veto in cases of mass atrocities. And we do this because we believe that the Security Council, and with it the UN system, is losing its leadership role at the moment when it is the most needed. Reform of the Security Council's working methods could therefore be one way forward, and we believe they are one way forward. But such reforms are vital, but they will not overcome automatically the absence of political consensus and of political will. Because we have to be realistic, the veto is not a privilege, it is meant to be an obligation. Agreement between all relevant global and regional powers is essential to keep peace processes on track. and consensus among the Council's permanent members was in 1945 seen as the best way to ensure necessary political support in situations of conflict. I believe we all agree, or I hope we all agree, that there can be no military solution to a crisis like Syria today. And even if there were a military solution, and even if the Security Council agreed on it, there would be no takers among troop contributors for such a massive and robust intervention. So in other words, since Rwanda and Srebrenica, the international community has discussed and established a number of important concepts and instruments to prevent similar crimes in the future. I think about the ICC, the International Criminal Court, the concept of responsibility to protect, integrated missions, the peace-building architectures, the creation of the Human Rights Council. In 2005, at the same time as the peace-building architecture and the Human Rights Council were established, the international community reaffirmed that peace, human rights, and sustainable development are interdependent and mutually reinforcing, and this was precisely the theme that we discussed this fall at the General Assembly. Because the leitmotif of all this is prevention, and the Security Council has an important role to play in this regard. The Council will most likely never be in a position to mandate robust military action at a large scale. It must therefore develop strategic approaches on how to better engage with key institutions, not only the Secretariat, but with the Peacebuilding Commission, the Human Rights Council, the ICC, with special envoys and key regional organizations. The Council must continue to develop comprehensive long-term preventive strategies, for instance, on how to counter violent extremism, and especially on how to prevent systematic and systemic human rights abuse. And this is one of the key reasons why we have been engaged in improving Security Council working methods, because we want the Security Council to become more accountable, more efficient, but we especially want the Security Council to focus on prevention rather than the aftermath of conflict. And second, there's the question whether the UN will be reaching its limits or is already reaching its limits. I think there are thousands, if not a million, good reasons to celebrate the 2030 agenda. But there is also a great deal of skepticism whether the UN system is fit and ready to cope with the challenges ahead. We could ask, maybe someone else or another institution is better placed to do the UN's work. I personally believe that with 120,000 personnel employed in a total of 16 peace operations, a peacekeeping budget of close to 8.5 billion, and over 57 million people in 22 countries needing humanitarian assistance, it is idle to ask whether we need the UN. The question should therefore be, what kind of UN do we need in the future? It is a question of adapting concepts and perceptions to operational realities. And this is why we are currently undergoing all these different reviews. And I'm sure Michael said it before, the UN was established as an intergovernmental organization. Its principals are national governments who act as members of political organs and governance structures of the various UN entities. But over the last years, vast changes have occurred as how much member states contribute to the UN and what they can ask of the UN in turn. This is visible, for instance, in the General Assembly's Budget and Finance Committee. This fall, the fifth committee, the said budget committee, will not only negotiate the next regular biennial budget, it will also negotiate the so-called scale of assessment, which means they will negotiate how much every member state contributes to the UN's regular budget. First mechanic predictions show a relative decline in assessed contributions by many traditional and namely EU donor countries. The EU's cumulative contribution will fall to 30.4% from previously around 35%. At the same time, at least some transitional or rising economies will have to pay more, especially China, which will move from sixth to third largest donor. These changes will be more consequential when it comes to voluntary contributions. by contributing extra budgetary support, and that's the large majority of contributions to the UN system. Member states define the areas which they deem a priority. With traditional donors suffering from budgetary constraints, we hope that new donors will start contributing. But the question is, will these donors have the same priorities that we do? While traditional donors reduce their contributions due to budgetary constraints.
Was für Sie ein Hauptthema ist und was wichtig ist für den Frieden, sind Einverständnis mit den globalen Partnern, nicht, dass man nur regional bleibt und dass man, wie der Herr Moller schon gesagt hat, Kooperationen mit den Agenturen verstärkt. Auch sind alle die gleiche Meinung, dass Prävention vom Konflikt selber wichtiger ist, als dass man nach dem Konflikt einfach helfen kann. Außerdem ist es nicht gut, wenn sich Konflikte durch internationale Einflüsse dennoch vergrössern. Nachdem Frau Svoljarić fertig war, habe ich mich auch schon wieder auf den Weg gemacht und habe viel aus dieser Konferenz mitnehmen. Prävention ist wichtig, schon so helfen, dass gar kein Konflikt ausbricht. Man muss vermitteln zwischen den Parteien und braucht eine neutrale Person oder Swiss Peace, die das machen kann. So kann man verstehen, wie sich die verschiedenen Parteien fühlen. So kann man Frieden auf unserer Welt schaffen und wir kommen im Weltfrieden immer näher. Ich bin Kaya und ich bin schon wieder auf dem Weg, für euch spannende Beiträge für den Frieden zu suchen.